Amen. Can we all say amen? Amen. I believe we can say amen. Thank God. Amen. Thank God for another day. Amen. Thank God for another day in his marvelous what? Grace. The essence of grace, church. God's grace is always sufficient. Why? Because he's God. Amen. Let every heart pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your kindness, your goodness, and your mercy. We thank you for your understanding of your grace. We thank you, Lord, for continuing to indwell us with the richness of who you are. Amen. You are a mighty God. You're a great God. And we thank you, Lord, even this terrible, this cold day, we can look to you to know that everything is according to God. And right now, Father, we thank you for the Grace Gospel Church. Thank you for continuing to breathe upon this church. Oh, God, we thank you just for the word of God that shall go forth today. Oh, God, let everyone, let flesh put flesh aside. Let Christ be magnified. Let Christ be exalted. And, Father, let everything be said and done. Let it all be done for the edification of the body of Christ. It's in you we live, we move, we are, because we're in you. We thank you for your goodness, grace, continue to bless. Our pastor, as he continues to rest and recover, bless everyone here, Father, according to your will, plan, and purpose. Bless the word of God today. And everything, we'll be mindful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory that all the people of God say. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank God. At this time, what we're going to do, we're going to go right into our scripture. Amen. And thank God for the word of God. Now, what we're going to do, oh, by the way, thank God. Well, I need someone to write, Iman, if you don't mind, Sister Iman, there's in the podium, there, you'll see a document entitled Our Eternal Relationship with God. If you don't mind passing those out, amen. You should see the title of there is the document is Our Eternal, Not Temporary, amen. That's right. See, a lot of people think, well, if you live in life, you mess up, that's a temporary thing, you mess up. That's scary, Pastor. No, we're going to focus on, and please, when you get the document, if you have a pen, please underline eternal. Underline eternal, church. Amen. See, some people think God is, oh, Lord, have mercy. You wonder why God's people are so frustrated. If they have a bad day, it's temporary. But good day is eternal. Amen. Yep, everyone's here. Everyone, Sister Iman and Elder Karen, you can, I think, does everyone have one? Everyone here, I think everyone has one. Yes, amen. Again, it should be Our Eternal Relationship with God. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to the two base scriptures. Now, we're going to look at our introductory scripture, which is Galatians chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. And then we're also going to tie this into Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. Now, we're going to do the actual further exegesis on Colossians 3, 1 through 4. I repeat, Galatians chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. Deacon Gabby, you can just read this in the King James, but in the Colossians, we have the exegesis on Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. Let me share something with this morning Sunday school. We had Sunday school here because the church was heating up. Anyway, we closed the scripture. Amen. And Deacon closed the scripture on Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Is that right, Deacon? Amen. And I said, wow, it was almost like that was the part one of this message today. But how many know the Holy Spirit is a teacher? The Holy Spirit is a teacher. And that is the essence of the workings of God. Okay, Galatians chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. Let's go right into the scripture. Amen. Trust that everyone have the document. Okay. You may begin reading.
We're reading from the book of Galatians chapter 2, beginning verse 1 through verse 7. Paul writes, "Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles.
Paul preached, okay.
But privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain.
Mm-hmm.
But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately, to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage.
Mm-hmm.
To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you.
Mm-hmm.
But of these who seemed to be somewhat whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person.
Mm-hmm.
For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me.
Now let's focus on verse 7. Let's see what Paul is dealing with these the church at Galatia. What is his summary statement, part of his summary statement, in what he is conveying and teaching this church? Amen. Deep verse 7, please.
But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter.
The gospel of the circumcision church to Peter, the gospel of the uncircumcision to the Apostle Paul. Now understand that I'm going very slow now, okay? The gospel, we know the gospel is what? Good news. And the medium source of that good news conveys a message. You have the message of the kingdom and the message, what? The body of Christ, the church. It is the message. But the problem in the many churches today, they don't understand what our marching orders are. What are our instructions? They don't know. Give an example. Yesterday, we had, after the men's fellowship, we had a death of a teacher at my former school, which was cutting myself, Kettering High School, had passed away, but went on to be with the Lord last week. So they had a homegoing service yesterday. So after the men's fellowship, I ran out of the fellowship to the funeral. And over there in Wyoming, from the time I left going to the funeral, coming, I made a couple other stops. In that 20-minute drive, I must have passed 12 different churches, at least 10 different churches. And again, I'm not judging the church, I don't know. But it's one thing that thought that came to my mind. Many of God's people think that a local building, I'm not going to name, but these local buildings, that's the ministry. And see, what God's people need to understand, church, is this. The ministry is not a local building. The ministry is not a person, a bishop, a pastor, a local building, a denomination. What is the ministry? The ministry is the message. I repeat, the ministry is the message. Today, time passed, but now, ages to come. Our message today, D just read this earlier, the kingdom gospel has a message. What is the kingdom message? Time passed, but now. What is our message? Our message is the only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation. What is our message? Is the gospel of the grace of God. That's where, church, that's where we need to be anchored. We need to understand that's the message. That's our message. And the dispensation of grace is not about a building. It's not about personalities. It's not about preachers in Detroit. Come on. Listen, hey, amen. Everybody has a course, right? Amen. So I'm just saying, it's not about preachers from Los Angeles. It's not our message today. It's the gospel of the grace of God. Now, in that message, we need to understand that message is far superior than the other messages in the Bible.
all 66 books, church,
the Word of God. But our prioritized focus is what? Grace. What is grace? God's unmerited favor. He saved you in spite of you. He saved us in spite of us. That's when I say, well, you know, I'll come to the Lord after I clean up a few things. Now, you depraved, you're going to clean up some things. You know, you heard that. People say, one day when I finally get myself together, I'll come to the Lord. No man comes to Christ except he be drawn by the Spirit of God. Amen. Now, let's go to Colossians chapter 3. In your document, this is where we're going to focus today. But I just want you to see, I'm anchored in differentiating these gospels, these messages. Like Elder Karen always mentioned, she's anchored in Ephesians and Colossians. I am anchored because I know the Lord gave me a life of confusion before I was under the teaching of Pastor Cutler. That if you do not divide this Bible, church, according to dispensations and covenants, you will live a confused life. Saved but confused. But thank God, like we mentioned in Sunday school this morning, what liberation can come when you, in essence, can walk with the freedom, can walk with spiritual understanding. You can't put a price tag on what? Spiritual comprehension. You can live each day and not be confused. Your bad day, you have comprehension. Good day, comprehension to know that what? Everything is according to God. Colossians 3, verse 1 through 4. Deacon Gavin, yes. Read this in the King James, then go directly into the Greek, please.
Now we're reading from the book of Colossians, the third chapter, King James Version first, verses 1 through 4.
Yes.
If ye then be risen with Christ, mm-hmm. seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, mm-hmm. not on things on the earth. Mm-hmm. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory.
Amen. Deep, why don't you read this in the Greek, please?
Now from the interlinear Greek text, Colossians 3, 1 through 4. If or since therefore ye were co-raised mm-hmm. with Christ, the things above seek where Christ is at right of God sitting. The things above mind ye, not the things on the earth. Ye died, for ye died, and the life of you has been hidden with Christ in God. Whenever Christ is manifested, the life of us, then also ye with him will be manifested in glory.
Will be manifested in glory. Now, somebody said, what in the world is Paul talking about? What is Paul talking about? Again, what is the methodology, church? You stand up, you call your text. We call the text, right? Then you exegete the text. That's what we're going to do right now.
All right.
And after we exegete the text, sit down. Mm-hmm. What else is there? After you give Jesus all the praise, honor, and glory, what else to do but sit down? Because I've been in places where after they called the text and preacher got that talk another 30 minutes and crazy stuff came out of their mouth. Why? You know, you're depraved. What do you expect? You sit up there. You know, you have no scripture to guide you. But you just up there run off at the mouth. No. So, you know, amen. Because after we exegete, we can sit down. Now, what is Paul, Deacon Gavin just read this in the Greek. What is Paul talking about? If you look at the exegesis of Colossians 3, 1 through 4, let's go right to your document, please. Mm-hmm. Amen. Trust everyone. Let's look at the document. Mm-hmm. What is Paul talking about? Okay. here's beginning. Our eternal relationship with God, the Lord bless Pastor Cutler to write this. I'm not sure, but it was probably some time ago. Pastor doing so much right. I lost track. It was some time ago, and I got to say this. You know, y'all have these documents. We all have the documents. Now, a pastor asked me to do a couple forewords to the book. I was telling my wife, I said, wow, we've gone now from foreword and documents now to books. Amen. But that's the workings of God, right? That's the workings of God. It's Jesus who gives all what honor and glory. The beginning. This is the foundation of the instructions and directives given in Colossians 3, 1 through 4. As we first read read it from the King James, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now, from the Greek text, therefore, if you have been risen with Christ, seek the things above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Note the structure of the coordinating and subordinating conjunction phrase eon rendered if then or therefore if, as it draws his presence from the antecedent verses 20 through 23 of chapter 2. In verse 20, Paul relays the facts of those having died through identification with Christ, as also as a result of this are severed from the rudiments, elements, or basic principles of the world.
All right.
In verse 21 through 23, church, Paul outlays some of the things that God's people are to be separated from because they have died with Christ. Mm-hmm. Hence, the commandments and teachings of men.
Amen.
Verse 1 of Colossians expands the thought in this continuum to the progression of such ones having been raised by identification with Christ, referenced in Romans 6, 5, and also verse 8. Again, the subordinate conjunction E, if, only designates the status of those who are indeed identified with both the death and resurrection of Christ as members of his body. This status entails the characteristics of how the new man in Christ should function, referencing Ephesians 4:24. Here, the Greek verb rendered have been raised with is derived from seen and literally denotes, according to the passive voice, to be raised up with or together, in the referencing with Ephesians 2:6. Note, in the aorist tense indicates that it was a completed action and occurred at a given point in the past. Thus, the conveyance is the workings of God in eternity on behalf of the elect. And let's pause here for a minute. Now, we're going to go back there. What is Paul saying? Our status, church, our position in Christ, our relationship with Christ is an eternal relationship.
Yes, sir.
That's where security is, to know that we are sealed, eternally sealed, united with Christ.
All right.
He's the head, we're the body, we're in him. Now why do we call this an eternal relationship? Eternality, in essence, eternity is everlasting, no ending.
None.
We have a relationship with Christ that can never end.
Never.
It never ends. And somebody say it started when I got baptized. No. It did not start when they got baptized. Oh, it started when I came up and spoke in those tongues. Or I had a move from God. No, see, that's the problem there, is men of God's people have salvation in time.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have what the pastor taught me years ago, to all of us, whatever you think regarding
salvation,
you carry that same cogitation throughout your life. Mm-hmm. If you feel that I contributed to my salvation, then you feel that you're going to have to contribute to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's scary. If that's a problem, a lot of people feel that they have to what? Contribute to keep salvation. Now here's the security. If you did not contribute to, quote, get saved, which I don't like the term get saved, because you were always saved, but I'm just, you know, if you did not contribute toward your salvation, you cannot, you don't have to contribute to keep your salvation, because salvation is of God. He's the beginning, he's the end. Salvation is of all of God. So security in salvation will transfer to security in your life. Insecurity regarding salvation. Look at God's people today. They don't know whether or not they're saved.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
Many, thank God not all. And you wonder why they are not, why they are insecure. Mm-hmm. They're either insecure in their relationships, they're insecure with their kids, they're insecure on their job. Yes. When they get the, when the Republicans come to Congress, they say, oh Lord, they're gonna kill Obamacare and kill. So why? They're secure based upon looking in the matrix. Your viewing is not in the matrix. Your viewing is what God did for you in eternity. Everything is according to God. Now, looking at this, when you understand that everything is according to God, you'll not move here and there by the things that happen on a day-by-day basis. Because how many, have you all figured out there's enough trouble to go around? There's enough trouble to go around, church. But we're not moved by what? Things that happen on a day-by-day basis. Our focus should all be on what? According to God. And that is the word that was in my heart all week. Everything is what? According to God. Men's fellowship yesterday, we just focus on that. Everything in our life is what? According to God. And then, now, when you know that everything according to God, you will now be focused on God's eternal purpose and not the process that occurs in these sequential testimony depictions. Your focus is in eternity, is driven by purpose.
Yes.
Now, some of the crazy things that happen, we call crazy, but what we can say is this. Everything goes down according to what? God. Mm-hmm. But it begins with salvation. You are saved according to God. No, somebody said, I'm saved because I was, you know, that's a problem. Whenever people look at you messed up. Every point, every focus, every direction, every thought should point to Christ. You are saved, a person saved according to God.
Yes,
sir. The non-elect, not saved, what? According to God.
That's right. That's right.
Go over there, Romans. Jacob have I loved? Mm-hmm. Why did God love Jacob? According to his purpose. Mm-hmm. Why did God hate Esau? According to his purpose. Now, if you don't understand this, you'll be making stuff up. You'll be making stuff up trying to twist the scriptures to your own way of thinking.
Right.
Like that context there. Jacob have I loved. Mm-hmm. Esau have I hated. Now, one preacher said 20 years ago, he said, God really didn't hate Esau. Did he listen to him? Wait a minute. The Bible says he hated Esau.
That's what it
said. He said, well, he just hated Esau's ways. Wait. If there were anyone that had some ways that God should have hated, it was Jacob. He was a manipulator. He was a liar. And, you know, he got that from his father.
Yes.
Abraham, Isaac, Jacob.
Yes.
His father, Isaac. They got it from their father. Grandfather, Jacob's grandfather, what? Abraham.
Yep.
Now, we say the guy, that's just a term, because it was all what? According to God.
Mm-hmm.
See, when we say things, we say things, it's amazing, Pastor. We say people communicate according to what things are down here. But our thinking, everything, our spiritual understanding, always focus on what? According to God. That you're not part of the formula.
Hallelujah.
See? You ace that exam according to God. Then somebody said, no, I stutter hard. But what about the time you stutter, you fail? See, it goes back to according to God. You read a testimony of someone that stays with a spouse for 50 years. Wonderful. According to God. Someone got married 1 year, they divorced. According to God.
Jesus.
People have $1,000, $50,000 in the bank. According to God. Some people, any of your bank book may be a negative balance. It may be a zero minus. What? According to God.
According to God. Praise Jesus.
You go to Comerica, you taking out $50. Is there? That's not in your. How you know? I've been there. My dad didn't quite bounce a check with my pants. I go there and I take my wife out to dinner. Say, let me take this $100 out of my hand. They said, you better come back. Why? According to God. You get a promotion according to God. You get fired according to God. So you see the peace that whatever happens in the matrix, church, it is according to God.
Yes, sir. Everything.
We are free to worship in this country. I thank God for America, in spite of all the problems. Mm-hmm. But we can go, we can call on the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. I mean, thank God. I thank God for that.
Yes.
According to God. Not according to what they do in Washington in terms of past legislation. No, look, that's just process. Mm-hmm. But some people called on Jesus, they are executed for the name of Jesus. You are killed, stoned, whatever. What? According to God.
According to God. Praise Jesus.
You live according to God.
According to God.
You die.
Yes, sir.
According to God.
Yes, sir.
Whether you live or die, it is according to God. When you look at, when you live Hallelujah. This way, church, you can have the best, worst day of your life. Mm-hmm. You can still go to sleep at night. You don't have to call CVS and take no, well, my daddy had to call a Valium. I don't know what they have, you know, people get depressed and, you know, work doctors, they, I don't know what they call them stuff now, but, you know, amen, that's the cause for some people, wonder, I'm not criticizing that, but my point is that you can go to bed, sleep at night, no matter what went down the previous 24 hours, it was according to God's purpose.
Purpose. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Life should be driven, our lives should be driven by purpose. Mm-hmm. And in that purpose, God has purpose for processes to occur in your life.
In your life.
And Come these on. Processes will be based on the journey that God has for his people.
That's right.
See, everyone here, in this church right now, the Grace Gospel Church, you have the purpose, I call the similarity of purpose. And what's the similarity of purpose? You are saved, you were saved in eternity. That's the commonality that brought all of us, salvation to Christ. But in that journey, men of everyone here will have different processes that you're going to what? Experience. That God has purpose for you that's different from anyone else.
That's right.
And that's the unique thing in the body of Christ. We have the commonality of saved by the blood of Jesus. There's only one way to be saved.
Only one.
All the dispensations,
mm-hmm.
all seven dispensations,
all.
There's only one way to be saved.
One.
And that's what? Through the blood of Christ.
Blood of Christ.
They were saved and didn't know it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Many of them were saved and didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was all according to what? God.
Mm-hmm.
See, now when you put things in the eternal view, you're not making up stuff. See, you heard people say, well, what about people that lived before 2,000 years ago? You know, before Christ. You heard this. Oh, they were looking forward to Calvary. Some of them didn't know nothing about. They didn't know nothing about Calvary. Come on. Look, how could they look forward to something they didn't even know? But what happened, because you take salvation out of time, they were saved in eternity, even though they didn't know it. See, that's why you don't go back in those other covenants, church,
Bring
to what? Try.
Out,
you don't go back there in those other writings to try to what? You go back there to teach from our gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you go within the book of, let's say you look at, go to Kings and Leviticus, you think they were saved by keeping the law.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the framework of those covenants, it's driven by time.
Mm-hmm.
You keep the law, you do, you know, the kingdom, even the kingdom gospel. Saved in Christ, but the kingdom gospel, a large component of the kingdom gospel is what? Time.
Mm-hmm.
Repent and be baptized, you'll be baptized in what? Time.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'll be saved. Written from that standpoint, it's what? Driven by time.
Mm-hmm.
But still, even in the kingdom gospel, you have people say, well, you know, I did this and I got saved. Even in the kingdom gospel church, which you don't have as much information as our contract,
nope.
Jesus said at one account, no man comes to the Father except they be drawn. In other words, you don't come on your own. Somebody said, well, I made up my mind to get saved. Now you're depraved. The Bible tells that this flesh is the church. This flesh is in enmity with God. Sure. This flesh don't want to have anything to do with God.
Right.
So stop being the, if the guy, if your next door neighbor want to be at the bar all night, that's his thing. Amen. Don't beat him over the head so you're going to hell. He's driven the flesh that way. Amen. If whatever he's doing. Amen. Don't beat people up over the head. There's one thing about grace. Grace does not condemn people. Because you can always look at this component if it wasn't but for the grace
but
of God.
Grace.
Grace shall humble us.
Hallelujah.
Not exalt us. See, the flesh wants to be exalted.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing about grace. It humbles you to know that if you see someone messing up, your brother, because we don't know, by the way, person messing up, we all mess up, and we're going to mess up. We're not, by the way, we're not giving you license to do, I'm just saying, as you, in this present evil age, some people are going to mess up more than others.
Mm-hmm.
That's all according to God.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, church.
Mm-hmm.
The manifestations of depravity will manifest more in some people than others.
Absolutely.
It's still according to God.
Just
like what? Some people manifest what? Identification with Christ more than others.
Yeah.
It's still what?
According to God.
Everything we make, every thought is according to God.
Praise Jesus.
And we can live life. We can live in spite of the problems. We can move forward in Christ.
Amen.
To know
Amen.
That great is he that's in us than what? He that's in the world.
In the world.
Back into the document, please. Second paragraph. This eternal transformation of the believer engenders a spiritual resurrection that to be practically displayed and applauded manifestly in time. In effect, Paul is conveying how God's people are to live and what they are to prioritize. Here, attention is drawn to what believers are to value above all else. They are to render, zetite render, or literally pursue after, strive after, and endeavor to attain unto things above. Note the Greek verb zetita is a present imperative as it denotes a current, continuous command to focus on the above things. This eliminates any option to the contrary. Thus, those who are spiritually resurrected are to be spiritually oriented in the sphere of non-material, non-physical, and unseen arena.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Paul, I'm going to read the last sentence again. If you want to get this. This eliminates any option to the contrary. Thus, those who are spiritually resurrected are to be spiritually oriented in the sphere of non-material, non-physical, and unseen arena. Now, our focus, church, God's people's focus should be on the unseen. But here's the problem. Because many of God's people are carnal. Let's face it, most of God's people are carnal. The unseen does not resonate many times with what? With what you can see, touch, you know. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it interesting that of all the churches, Paul always, in teaching to church at Corinth, he always emphasized walking by faith. Why? Understand. See, in Paul's epistles, church, understand. It's looking at things from the what? Eternal view. But Paul's writings also, the language of grace also dealt with things that were occurring in those churches at those times. So when problems occurred, Paul wrote to address those problems, but the problems were always addressed to what? From the what? Vertical view.
Vertical.
You see this? Things that we deal with in life always, we analyze our summation of these things is always from the vertical view. But going back to the church, see, the church at Corinth was so carnal that Paul had this many times stated, We walk by faith. Not them. They were moved by moving and shaking and the glam and all of this, you know. And Paul had to come back. Same church. Paul entered that church. Come on. Things are going on. People are suing each other. Crazy things are happening. Paul looked around. All these crazy things. And I'm sure they want to get Paul off course and deal with all these things in there that they were dealing with. But Paul, what did Paul say in one account? I came to you. Nothing. I came to you teaching and preaching only Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Only Christ Church. Christ, Christ, Christ. So again, our focus, see, Deke just read this. Seek those things which are above, for Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now, our focus should be what? On above. Men of God's people's focus is where? Down here. They are captivated by what happens on a day-by-day basis. And the preacher's job, the minister of the gospel's job, only through the grace of God, is the Holy Spirit to elevate our thinking to think on the above things. Mm-hmm. I remember years ago, before Mother Goodlow went to be with the Lord, we had a church, it was a service there at a church in Ocala, and it was interesting. And the preacher preached on this context. So, man, he can say Colossians. I said, let me open my Bible. Amen. And what he did, remember, Karen, read this again. Go back to verse 1. Go, you can go on to King James, since they had it, you know, most people. Go on to King James. Go back to verse 1 again.
Colossians 3:1, King James Version. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God.
Stop. He stopped right there. I said, why did he go on, Pastor? He stopped right there. He stopped right there and started talking about, you know, you can have your goals. God is for you. I said, why didn't he go to verse 2? Because he knew, you know, again, he knew that verse 2, you have to have a spiritual mind to resonate with deep. Read verse 2 again.
Verse 2 of Colossians chapter 3. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth.
And he did not address that. He just went on. He stopped right at verse 1. See those things which are above. And I said, what about verse 2 where it says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth? He didn't go there. Because what he just, I said, why didn't he go there? And he took the next 30 minutes and went in every direction but verse 2. That God's people are to set their affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That doesn't mean that we all have different things we're dealing with in the earth realm. We all be what we live, we eat, we have job responsibilities, we deal with these things, but we all do these things from what? The vertical view. Amen. And then when you deal with these things from the vertical view, then you can have spiritual understanding to know that God, everything is according to God. Like one brother, he had a statement, he felt God was going to send him to India, and the Lord, he had prayed for a job. The Lord gave him a job, and a year later, he went to this one church and said, yeah, your job is to go to go to all the world and preach the gospel. And someone said, brother, you should go to India. So he was in all the zeal. He quit his job, and he just sat home, and all of a sudden, the bill collectors called and everything, and he says, wait a minute, preacher, I got a problem. The Lord said go into all the world. So what's wrong? The Lord gave me a job, but I quit it. And the preacher, thank God for, in this case, the wise pastor, he said, wait a minute. He said, the Lord gave you a job, and you quit for why? Because I read over there, it says, go ye into all the world. So they need some missionaries in India, so he quit the job. So the pastor led him to a scripture. Brother, read this. Read it aloud, brother. He said, oh, if any man don't work, he don't eat. Brother, apply for a job, go back to work, and if God in due time sends you to India, he will work it out. Amen. What it was, if you don't work, you don't eat. So in this case, he said, well, thank you, Jesus. You know, so what happened? You look at things from the vertical view, so you still have to work, you still have to deal with the bill, you still have to, you know, deal with things, but you deal with on what? the vertical view to know that God's purpose for me is to keep this job, whether it's 1 year, a minute in here, been around, we had jobs, but we retired, and sad to say, but not sad, but in many cases, there in this change in dynamics, you know, the next generation, there may not be a word called pensions, right? Those word pension may not exist. But guess what? That is still according to God. Whether I have a pension, according to God. Whether I don't have a pension, according to God. I don't know, y'all. This is an exciting way to live, because I look back at my life for the past 40 years. And I look back, I said, wow. When I say past 40, this is my wife and I have been married 40 years in September coming. I said, everything that occurred, many times I said, oh, I blew it. From my perspective, when I blew it, whatever it was, I blew it. And y'all be quiet. You've been there. You all blown it.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
But your perception of blowing it, you may have blown it from your mindset, but from what? God's viewpoint, it was according to God. It was according to God. You are here. Why is it you are here? And I know, come on. I know some of y'all, you hit those elements. There's not a person here. I know you thought, okay, that bed should feel good by today. But what happened? God calls you to be here today. Why? According to God. His purpose. Now, some of our brothers and sisters, I'm not talking about, some brothers and sisters in Michigan, I guarantee you, they are under the covers right now. That's still what? According to God. And that's not, by the way, that's no excuse. Amen. Thank God. Every opportunity God gives you, come to church. Amen. That's part of the process, right? But this teaching will keep you from beating people up over the head.
Hallelujah.
And say, why don't you do right? Well, why don't you do right? See, we always look at other people until we need it. People will beat you up over the head, but until what? We need it. Oh, y'all, have mercy. Give me some mercy. We all need mercy. We all need it. According to God. According to God. Next paragraph. Note the alternatives are either things above, which are all inherent in Christ, or things upon the earth, wherein Satan is the prince and power of the air. 2 Corinthians 4:4, Ephesians 2:2. It is apparent that both cannot be simultaneously accommodated. Here it is important to distinguish the messages of the gospel. Note in Matthew, I tell you what, let's go there. Matthew 6:33. Let's corroborate one thing since it's in the document that Pastor wrote. Let's go to Matthew. We can corroborate. See? Some of y'all say y'all don't go to the other writings of the Bible. Yes, we do there. But we go for corroboration, church. We don't go there to teach. I'm sorry. We go there to teach. Correct that. Amen. No, we go there to teach. I say that again. We go to the other parts of the Bible to teach. But you don't go there to learn. When I say learn, you don't read in the context of Genesis to try to learn something. Because what's going to happen, you're only going to get the information in that covenant. So don't go to Genesis and try to understand actualization by God's decree in eternity in Genesis. Because guess what? Moses didn't know anything about it. The other writers didn't know it. Okay, Dee, you may read that, please.
We're reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 33, King James Version. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Now, if you read, church, if you read, for Jesus mentioned, seek ye first, Matthew 6:33. Now, we don't have time, but if you go up to Matthew 6:1, the summation is 33, all talks about what? Physical blessings, because what's synonymous with the kingdom gospel is what? Our spiritual blessings. That is that contract, the kingdom covenant, spiritual blessings. Now, it's physical blessings, in the grace. Kingdom is physical blessings. In the grace is what? Spiritual blessings. Okay? Now, on the other hand, there are no promises of physical rewards in the heaven, lives, or the sphere of future manifestations of glory in the essence of the body of Christ and the recipients thereof. So what we're just saying is that in our contract, our gospel, spiritual blessings, kingdom gospel, physical blessings. Now, our gospel is written from above. Everything in Colossians to see those things were above. That is synonymous with the grace gospel. The kingdom gospel is written from the area, the component of what? The earth. That's why it talks about, go over there and in Revelation talks about that new Jerusalem is going to come down from the heavens, what? To the earth. A physical place. Our abode is in the heavenlies, and where is our heavenlies? In Christ. Their abode is physical. The kingdom recipients, physical. Our abode is what? Spiritual. That's why going to back to Colossians, see those things were above. Above spiritual, down here physical. And by the way, we're not minimizing physical blessings, but it's just that spiritual blessings is what? It's a lot better. Spiritual blessings, what? Prioritize. Why is that God's people, God took care, and we can say we're looking at it that from a human standpoint, because there's nothing hard but God. He's God. But God took care of us forever. Go back to the document, our eternal relationship with God. God took care of us in eternity. He will take care of you in time. You are set in eternity. Well, you're going to be set in time. Well, somebody said, well, what about some problems I have? Who doesn't have problems? I don't know why people think that they're going to be problem-free in this present evil age. But our focus should be what? Above. And when we focus on the above things, we can deal with the things down here from a prioritized basis from above. Now, in closing, the above things. In the kingdom gospel, physical blessings. Grace gospel, spiritual blessings. Kingdom gospel, sing. The kingdom gospel is even in the law. Everything is driven by what you see. Grace gospel, unseen. Kingdom gospel, Jesus preached according to what? Prophecy. Grace gospel, Jesus preached according to mystery. Kingdom gospel, focus on time. Grace gospel, focus on eternity. Kingdom gospel, in the other covenants, there are conditions. Grace gospel, no conditions. Grace gospel, no conditions. And the fact that there are no conditions, God saved you apart from any conditions. You bring anything to the table, because anything that you bring to the table, you have destroyed grace. For by grace are we saved through faith. Let's close on this verse. We can close on Ephesians 2:8. Let's close on Ephesians 2:8. We'll close on Ephesians 2:8. Amen. Ephesians 2:8-9. Deacon Gavin, why don't we just read this right in the Greek. We'll close on this. Ephesians 2:8-9. Interlinear, please. Yes.
Now, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8-9 from the interlinear Greek text. For by grace ye are having been saved through faithfulness, and this not of you, of God the gift, not of works, lest anyone may having boast.
Now, church, I think this is an appropriate summation. It says, not of works, lest any man should boast. That means if you are saved by some works, you're going to boast. Think about it. If you are saved on God's grace, you cannot, you won't boast in that. Why? Because it was all God. But if you, I met brothers in the Lord. They feel they have a closer move to God because they tarried 5 hours for the Holy Spirit. So they put all this effort and they got saved. So what? Because they contributed. There's an element of pride there. But thank God. But that's looking at things where? Down here. Looking at, go back to Colossians, what we just read. Having the view, the vertical view, the above view, the prioritized view. Having the prioritized view is to know that in spite of my problems, in spite of my disappointments, I'm going to have a prioritized view. And the prioritized view is this situation, come death, life, whatever comes in my path, whatever pops up in this matrix, I don't understand it. I don't understand all the workings of it. But I do know that this experience that God is bringing to my life is for a reason. And that reason is according to God. And I will conclude by stating that you are saved according to God. And the only gospel that should be preached according to God is the gospel of the grace of God. God bless you.